This is If Clauses Number 5, Gospel of John, Number 1. Well, greetings, everyone. Welcome to another Sabbath. I just got back from Oklahoma City and Tulsa and had a really, really good trip. We had 55 in Tulsa, and everywhere we go, God is blessing us with an increase, and we're happy about that and being able to serve the brethren and take care of them. And with the things that have been going on in the churches lately, I just wanted to cover something that I covered earlier, which you probably heard me bring out. But I think it's a very important thing that we understand how God does work when we all get lifted up in self. And this is something that, especially when you look at all the lives of all of the kings, when they got older and turned their backs on God, then God had to punish them. Now here Hezekiah was a man who was righteous, did very well with God. God intervened and saved Jerusalem and Judah from the invasion of Sennacherib and the army of 180,000. And when they were ready to attack Jerusalem, God sent that night an angel out there and killed all the troops. Now they had all their booty, all the gold, all the silver, all the spoil, everything they had from conquering all the countries that they had been going through. And so all of that fell into the hands of Hezekiah and the people of Judah. Then Hezekiah got sick, and God added 15 years to him because he repented. And then after that, Hezekiah made a major, major mistake, because the ambassadors from Babylon came over because they heard of this defeat, heard of the army being wiped out miraculously. And so they came with gifts and wanted to find out from Hezekiah what happened. Well, it was all lifted up in vanity, and he showed them all the treasury, all the spoil, everything that there was. And so Isaiah was sent back, and Isaiah came to him and said, "What did they see?" I said, "Oh, I showed them everything." So he said, "It's all going to Babylon, and your sons will be officers in the king's court. But you'll have peace in your day. Happen after you die." So here shows the vanity and selfishness and getting uplifted. Now, he was a king that was righteous, see. So we can never say, "Oh, we've got it made." You know, like one man said, "I'm so old, Satan has, and have been faithful for so long, Satan has no interest in me." Bam. See. So, let's see what happened here, because this is very interesting. Verse 25. 2 Chronicles 32. But Hezekiah responded not again according to the good done to him, for his heart was lifted up. See, whenever we forget that in God we live and move and have our being, everything about us, God has created and given to us for the very purpose so that we can learn his word, enter into the kingdom of God. Thing short of that is falling short of our very purpose here. Therefore, there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, he and the people of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. But let's see what God says down here in verse 31, because this is very instructive. Verse 31. Nevertheless, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent to him to ask about the wonder that was done in the land, God left him. Now there comes a time within the church, the trials come, that you wonder, where is God? Well, God will pull back to see what you're going to do. God will pull back to see, do you really love him? Do you really want his way, you see? God left him in order to try him to know all that was in his heart. And so, in many of the situations in the Church of God, that's where a lot of people are. And the question then remains, are they going to return to God? Which also fits in what I'm going to cover today. I'm going to cover if statements in the Gospel of John. So thanks to Harry Curley, he got all 1,547 if statements in the Bible, capitalized them, made them in bold. And so the very first one also, let's repeat that, because this states the whole rest of the purpose of the Bible when we understand it. Genesis 4:7. Genesis 4:7. Now, after God did not accept Cain's offering, which is very instructive. When God tells us to do something his way, he wants us to do it his way. After all, is not God perfect? Yes. Is not God love? Yes. Is not God true? Yes. Everything he does is for our benefit. Is that not right? Now, sometimes we don't understand it, but the key is this. When you don't understand it, if you're faithful and follow God the way you ought to, then you will understand it after. But here Cain brought an offering from the ground, undoubtedly, in a manner that God did not accept. That's why God did not accept his sacrifice, but accepted Abel's. So let's read Genesis 4:7, and here's a whole summary of the entire Bible right here. If you do well, because even the New Testament says, yes, we can please God. We love him and keep his commandments. If you do well, shall you not be accepted? Of course. God wants to accept us. But since he's God, then we worship him his way, see? That becomes the important thing. But if you do not well, sin lies at the door. So this is saying when we approach God according to our own thoughts, our own ways, our own attitudes, not choosing his way, the way that God has accepted or given to us, then what happens? Sin lies at the door. Now at that point, we have a choice what we're going to do because the crossroads are here. Okay. Now sin, its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Now, how do you rule over it? By your choices. See, God has given us the strength of mind and enough of understanding what we need to do that we can stop doing evil. Now, that does not mean that we're called to conversion yet. Now, how many people do you know out there in the world who've gotten involved with drugs and things like that? And finally, they quit. See, because that sin was ruling over them. But now they finally quit and they're ruling over it. So they understand that every day they have to make the choice not to do that. And especially with drugs, because once it gets into your system, boy, woo, that's quite a thing that takes place. All right? Let's see the same proposition here in Deuteronomy 30. So here's what we're confronted with in our lives, and our lives consist of day by day and year by year. Deuteronomy 30. Every human being has this set before them. It's like Cain. Cain was not called to conversion, but he could have done things God's way. Now, what happened when he chose not to repent and to do what God said? What happened? He got angry, he got jealous, and he killed Abel. So once you decide to take the step and go down the evil road, it's going to multiply and increase and get more and more and more. And especially those who are on drugs, that's accelerated, see. And the key thing on drugs is this. Like with cocaine, the first time that a person takes cocaine, the high is so exuberant. But it's the first and last time you'll ever be that high. So they want it again. So then it takes more and it takes more and it takes more, not realizing that it's going to take down their health and their bodies, you see. So that choice was presented to whoever said, oh, I will, or why don't you take this? This will, you'll really like it. Now, verse 19, okay? No, verse 15, rather. Verse 15. Behold, I've set before you this day life and good, death and evil. So let's remember that's every day. In that I command you this day to love the Lord your God. That's the important thing. Loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. That's where God wants us to be, you see. To walk in his ways, so then we have to walk in the paths of God. Walk in his commandments. Walk in the truth. And to keep his commandments and his statutes and judgments so that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it. Now, spiritually, that's for us too. What are we going to inherit? The kingdom of God. So everything that we do, if we yield to God and love him and put him first, will result in blessings. Now, also remember this. Trials can become blessings when you follow all the way through and keep loving and serving God. Then you can turn around and you can have perfect hindsight to see, yes, that's what God wanted. And all of that is part of faith. But if your heart turned away so that you will not hear. Now, did that happen to Cain? Yes. Has it happened to other people? Yes. And shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. And we've seen that happen. That happened to the children of Israel. Look what is happening right now in Protestantism and Catholicism. They're just dwindling and coming to nothing. Well, that's going to work together for good in the long run, because out of that, then God is going to be able to call people to him so they can really become converted. But here's the process. Once you do that, I denounce to you this day that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days on the land where you pass over Jordan to possess it. Now, how sure is this? You know, and any time God does this, you know it's true. Just like Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So, the truth of the matter is, we see the witness, we walk on the witness that God has given us, right here, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, so that both you and your seed may live. And the whole purpose of living, then, you see, comes right here to verse 20. This contains an awful lot, all right? That you may love the Lord your God and may obey his voice. Now notice these conditions here. Love God first, obey his voice, which is all in the Bible. May cleave to him, for he is your life and length of days, so that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give it to them. And, of course, the ultimate is the kingdom of God, you see. And also what's important for us to remember and understand is this. The kingdom of God is that which we are to seek every day, as Jesus said there in Matthew 6:33. Everything physical you need, God will take care of you, and regardless of what the circumstances are. And if you don't think that's so, remember what happened to Elijah in the days of the famine. Now, a lot of people like to make themselves important, but, you know, look at Elijah. What did it show in the vision of the transfiguration? Moses and Elijah. But where was Elijah for 3.5 years during the drought? Well, he was in the home of the widow. And what happened? They had a cruse of olive oil, and they had a small barrel of flour. God replenished that every day. Now, no one knew where Elijah was. Ahab was looking for him day and night. He figured that Ahab was the one who caused him all the problem, but that wasn't true. And so finally, when God wanted to bring him forth, then they had the confrontation, as you know there. Let's come here to 1 Kings. Let's see what that confrontation was. And again, 1 Kings 18. And again, notice the confrontation. Notice the parallels in the choices. That's what important to be. I love this account here. So Obadiah came out and he found Elijah. And so he said, verse 11, "Go and tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it will be as soon as I have gone from him, the Spirit of the Lord shall carry you away where I know not. And when I come and tell Ahab he cannot find you, he will kill me. But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth." Okay. So then what he did, was it not my Lord what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord? I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in caves and fed them with bread and water. And now you say, go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and then he will kill me. See, because he thought Elijah would again disappear as soon as he left. So, verse 15, Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely be seen by him today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab came to Elijah, and it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, he said to him, "Are you he that troubles Israel? You caused the drought." No, it was the sins of the children of Israel, you see. So Elijah answered, and he said, "I've not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you've forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed Balaam." Now you see how this follows right through from Cain, right on through here, the same principle? Yes, indeed. "Now therefore, send and gather me all Israel to Mount Carmel and 450 of the prophets of Baal." And remember, Jezebel married the king of Tyre, and her father was the high priest of Baal. So this is a tremendous confrontation here, see. "And 400 of the prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." Then Ahab sent to all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together to come to Mount Carmel. And so here's Elijah's proposition. So now when we come into trouble like they had here, there's always a choice to make. So Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you vacillate between two opinions?" Now the Hebrew means jump from one to the other. Sounds like the polls that we have, who you're going to elect, you know, today. See? "If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him." And the people did not answer him a word. Well, you know the rest of it. Elijah said, "Okay, prophets of Baal are many. Let them beseech Baal, set up their offering." So they did. They yelled and screamed, probably with tom-toms and drums and shouts and chants, you know, "No, no, 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 no," you know, to the sun god. And I like the Elijah by Mendelssohn. And they have a song in there to Baal. "Here is O Baal, here is O Baal." You know, it's really catchy. So I don't like to repeat it too much because I don't need that song going through my mind. But that's exactly what happened. Okay. So he said, "Don't put any fire under it. You call out." So they did till noon. Then Elijah got up there and said, "Oh, what's the matter, boys?" I'll just paraphrase it. "You've been jumping up and down, yelling and screaming. Now maybe he's on a trip. Maybe Baal's asleep and you got to wake him up." So they proceeded to yell more, slash and cut themselves and bleed all over the place, cried out more loudly. All right. So, after that, verse 29. So it came to pass when midday was past, and when they had prophesied until the offering of Elijah's oblation. Now the King James says until the evening oblation, there was no temple. So if that was not the time, and it's not in the Hebrew, see. So it should read into the offering of Elijah's oblation. There was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor anyone who paid attention. Elijah said to the people, come near to me. Repaired the altar. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of Israel, verse 31. Built an altar in the name of the Lord, verse 32. Covered it over with everything that was to be covered. Put the offering on it. Told him, now, middle of it, right at the end of a drought, now take water and put on it. Not once, not twice, but three times. So everything was all wet. Now, notice how short this prayer was. Because this becomes important. That any time you truly call on God, He will hear. Now sometimes the shortest prayer in your life and difficulty that you're going through may be the most important indeed. So just think about that. Go back and think about the times that God intervened for you. Sometimes it's only, God help me, I don't know what to do. And then God answers that prayer. So here it was here too. Now notice this prayer. Came to pass at the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant, that you have done all these things at, I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me that this people may know that you are the Lord and that you have turned their heart back again. Now, you measure that, that's probably far less than 20 seconds. Did God answer? Yes, indeed. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Well, right after that, Elijah had all of the prophets of Baal executed. Then he got afraid when he heard that Jezebel was after him. Ran on down to Mount Horeb and hid in the cave. And he thought, oh, just me. I'm all alone. See, now we're all going to have that kind of thing, too, that'll happen all alone. So these trials and difficulties that come upon us are for a purpose. Now, let's go forward to the things that we're looking at for today. There we go. Okay. Let's come to the book of Matthew, all right? Let's come to Matthew, the 7th chapter. What I want you to do is to see that the message of God is the same from beginning to end throughout the Bible. Circumstances change. The covenant with Israel was replaced with the covenant for eternal life. But nevertheless, the message is the same. So let's pick it up here in verse 13, because all of this is very instructive. Now here in Matthew 7, let's pick it up here in verse 13. Want you to notice the same message. Enter in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter through it. For narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and few are those that find it. And that is always the dividing line, is it not? Yes, indeed. Same choice. You go back to Hezekiah. You go back to Cain. You go back to the time of the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 30. The same choices are laid out there. You come to the time of the children of Israel and Elijah. The same choices there. If the Lord be God, serve Him. See? So here we have the same thing, now expounded directly by Jesus Christ, who was God manifested in the flesh, and who was the Lord God of the Old Testament. All right? Now, verse 15. This is true. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, for within they are ravening wolves. Boy, today that really applies today, of all the deceptions we have religiously and governmentally and worldwide and business and everything like that. You shall know them by their fruits. That's why you have to understand the commandments of God, the word of God, the will of God, because how can you judge their fruits unless you know the truth? Now, some of them use the Bible and use it quite well. And I've mentioned this in the past, but I'll mention it again because I think it's really a tremendous example. How many have heard of Charles Stanley? I think he's one of the better Protestant ministers today. He does good in helping people overcome their problems and, you know, say, trust God and pray to him so that you can get through your trials and difficulties and so forth. He does a real good job that way. When it comes to the Sabbath, it's a high hurdle, right over. And he said in one of the sermons, I heard in one of his sermons, I was listening to him, I thought, boy, he's really going right down the line with the Bible. Yeah, that's very good. Yes, he's being very encouraging. And wouldn't Satan like you to solve some of your problems? Even use the word of God to do that and think that, yeah, you're going the right way? So then he said, well, when I got depressed and I wasn't feeling, you know, up to anything, he said, what brought me out of it was I had to prepare a sermon for every Sunday. So I wonder what he did with the word Sabbath. Then when he got further into his sermon, he said, and we're all going to go to heaven. Then he got done with that, and he had the traditional call that what you do, you say, Jesus, you died for my sins. Forgive me for my sins. Accept me and save me to come into my heart. That just paraphrase, okay? Now you're saved. But you know, with everything that is out there, since he's reading the Bible, everything sounds so good. But if you leave it off here, and if you leave it off there, and you leave it off in another place, then you're going to end up minus the truth. So you have to know those things so you know them by their fruits. Men do not gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles, do they? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a corrupt tree produces evil fruit. A good tree cannot produce evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree produce good fruit. Now remember, a counterfeit has a lot of truth in it. So that's why Jesus said, man has to live by every word of God. The word of God is true, the commandments are true, the law is true, his precepts are true, all of those things. So you know them by their fruits. All right, verse 21. Now here is a really, this follows right along with what we've been covering. What God said versus what men want to do. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who is doing or practicing the will of my Father who is in heaven. And we're going to see practicing the will of God becomes a central key. And if you have the Spirit of God in you, that's what is going to lead you to really seek God when troubles come. So it's not that you can say, Lord, Lord. It's not that you can read the Bible. It is, are you doing the will of my Father who is in heaven? Because the judgment day is going to come. All of us are going to have to come before the judgment seat of God. And today, the church of God is being judged. All of us. What are we going to do? When you stop and think about it, every day is like a mini judgment. What are you going to choose? What are you going to do? That's why in the model prayer we were told, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. because we're going to fall short. We need forgiveness. That's bringing you back to God when you do it. When you say, oh, God, forgive me of this sin, but this temptation over here is really so great. I just couldn't resist it. So how about overlooking that one? See, no, you have to repent of all of them. See, now, here's talking about the prophets. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy through your name? Not going to be a shock? Someone asked me, why do you get after those Sunday-keeping preachers all the time? Some of them are so nice. Well, the reason is, why do they every Sunday reject the Word of God? That's why. Okay. Did we not cast out demons through your name, and did we not perform many works of wonder through your name? You know, built buildings, built churches, built hospitals, and, you know, did all of these things. Now, this is going to be really something. I mean, think about this for a minute. And then I will confess to them, I never knew you. Now, what does 1 John 2 and verse 3 say? Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And the one who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar. Now, think about this for a minute. A lot of people will say, well, they're deceived. That's correct. A lot of people will say, well, they're very sincere. That may be. But think of it this way. Is not a con man projecting the greatest amount of sincerity? But he wants you to believe his lies as truth, and you end up losing your money because you trust in his sincerity. That's why the Bible tells us, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Sincerity does not equate to conversion. Always remember that. So it's going to be something. Notice what he's going to say to them. Then I will confess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness, or as the King James says, iniquity. Not something? Now notice what he says here, because this becomes exactly the same thing from Genesis 4, Deuteronomy 30, 1 Kings 18, 2 Chronicles 32. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and practices them. Now that's something, isn't it? Live by them, practice them. I will compare him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Now that rock is Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:4, we know that. But also do this. Do a word search just in Psalms on the rock. See how many times David says, the rock, the rock, the rock, the Lord, my rock, you see. And also notice this. This has to do with doing it individually. See, when we come together as the called out ones, which ecclesia means, that means those who have been called out. When we come together in a fellowship group or congregation, we then are a church group. But the church group is not the first layer. The first layer is Christ. The next layer is individual conversion. The next layer is personal relationship with God. The next layer is church. Because the truth is, you can't reach out and preach the gospel unless you first have got brethren that are converted and serving, and a foundation on which God can add more to. But he's not in the business of adding people to the church of God now that want to go out and have something that's like the world. That's why the church is in flux again, as it was back in the 90s. To shake out those who believe, who love God, from those who are clingers and socializers. And then there's always another question you have to ask, too. Where did all the Trinitarians go when they formed another church? And they were preaching in the one that they left, false doctrines, but when they went to the new church because they could get a payroll or a payday, they stopped preaching. So the question is, where are they? What's in their hearts? Have they really set those things aside or not? Or is this a preview of things to come? See, we don't know. That's all in the hands of God, and that's all in the hands of the people going through it. But the ultimate judgment is going to come down right here to this, you see. You build on Christ. Now, here's what happens. Because many afflictions are the righteous. And the rain came down, the floods came, and who sends out the flood? Revelation 12, Satan. Problems and difficulties. And the winds blew and beat upon the house, but it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. Right back to exactly where we started, right? And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not practice them shall be compared to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain came down, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So there we have the same process we're going through today, right? Yes, indeed. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll go to the Gospel of John and look at some of the if statements in the Gospel of John.